Hey, 42 here. Every culture that has ever existed in the history of our species is unique. But there's at least one thing that every single one of them has in common. Stories. No matter the era or the geography, every culture tells stories. And like the people who tell them, these stories come in all different shapes and sizes. Some are new, many are old. Some are designed to teach important lessons, others simply to entertain. For the most part, these stories are just that, stories. Tall tales pass from generation to generation, but every now and again, hidden away amongst the fairy tales and local legends, is something truly remarkable. An ancient tale that, no matter how outlandish or fantastical it may sound, it might just be real. This video is about one such story. It concerns events that took place near a small English village almost 900 years ago. It's a story about green children and underground kingdoms. Details that on the surface are clearly ridiculous, and yet many historians suspect this ancient piece of bizarre English folklore might actually be true. Now, you might already be familiar with this story, particularly if you're a Brit like me, but just in case you aren't, allow me to tell you about the strange case of the Green Children of Woolpit. Sometime in the mid-12th century, two unknown children, a boy and a girl, were discovered lost and alone on the outskirts of the English village of Woolpit. So named because it was built near a series of pits that were dug to trap wolves. Nobody knew who these children were or where they'd come from, but one thing was crystal clear. They weren't local. For starters, they wore strange clothes and spoke an unknown language. But there was something even more unusual about these frightened foundlings. Their skin was bright green. Now, I'm the first person to say that people come in all different shapes and sizes and skin colours. But as far as I'm aware, green isn't usually one of them. Despite their frankly alarming appearance, these were still children. Children who clearly needed help. And so the good people of Woolpit took them in, offering them shelter, fresh clothes, and sustenance. Or at least, they tried to. The clothes and shelter went down just fine, but the sustenance? Not so much. The children were clearly famished, but they refused every single morsel that was put in front of them for several days. That is, until they happened across a patch of broad beans growing in a garden, which they attacked with the enthusiasm of a drunk student in a kebab shop at 2 a.m. Over time, the children were accepted into the Woolpit community. They learnt to eat normal food, and they were both baptised at the local church. The girl prospered. Her green skin faded to a normal, healthy pink. Hello. And she even learnt to speak English. But the boy never adapted to his new surroundings. He grew slowly weaker and eventually died. Now that the girl spoke the lingo, the inhabitants of Woolpit were keen to understand her story. Who was she? Where had she and her brother come from? And most importantly of all, why the hell were they bright green? The girl was only too happy to answer these questions. But rather than solve the mystery, her batshit insane origin story only added to it. And now for a quick ad from Adoo. Adoo is an all-in-one business management software that provides entrepreneurs with a range of applications to simplify the day-to-day management of their business. Invoicing, accounting, project management, inventory, website creation, and more. Adoo grows with you, allowing you to add apps as your business develops and your needs change. Now, running a YouTube channel isn't just writing, filming, and editing. There's a mountain of paperwork behind the scenes. Contracts with sponsors, release forms, licensing agreements, NDAs, and much more. For years, I was stuck in the drudgery of printing documents, signing them, scanning them back in, and emailing PDFs back and forth. Well, it's 2025, no one should have to do that. That's why I've been using Adoo's Sign application. It lets me send, sign, and approve documents online in just a few clicks. I can fully customize each document, adding one or multiple signers, dragging and dropping fields like name, date, and signature anywhere I need them. It's super easy to send it off to signers. I can determine the order of signatories, and the Do fires off automatic reminders so documents don't sit in someone's inbox for weeks. Crucially, documents signed with a Do comply with electronic signature standards in over 100 countries. And best of all, a Do allows you to send and sign your documents completely free with its first app offer, which is free for life. So try your first Ado app free for life. Click the link in the description below. Don't miss out. She claimed that she and the boy, her younger brother, were from somewhere called St. Martin's Land, a place of perpetual twilight where the inhabitants all had green skin, just like them. Separated from St. Martin's Land by a wide river was another city or territory of some kind. The girl didn't know its name, but she claimed that, unlike her homeland, it was always bathed in light. As for how she and her brother ended up outside of Woolpit, the girl's explanation was just as bizarre. She claimed they were taking care of their father's cattle when they heard a strange melodic sound. They traced the music to the mouth of a cave, and like the hot babysitter in a slasher movie, investigating a noise in the basement, they decided to take a look around. They wandered through the cave for a long time, guided by the music. Eventually, it led them back above ground, where the light was so bright they could hardly open their eyes. When they tried to turn back, the cave had disappeared, and they were found by the people of Woolpit soon afterwards. Now, at this point, I'd forgive you for thinking that there is literally no way in hell any of this nonsense actually happened. That's exactly what I thought when I started researching this story. But I wasn't joking when I said many historians believe the strange tale of the Green Children of Woolpit is actually true. Or to borrow a phrase from Hollywood, that at the very least it is based on real events. So what's going on here? How can such a blatantly ridiculous story have actually happened? Let's start from the beginning. We know about the Green Children of Woolpit from two different primary sources. William of Newburgh's Historia Rerum Anglicarum, written at the tail end of the 12th century, and Ralph of Coggeshall's Chronicum Anglicanum, written some 30 years later. These aren't quite contemporary accounts. Even Newburgh's was likely written a decade or two after the events took place, but they're close enough that first-hand witnesses could still have been alive. The two retellings are very similar. In fact, the key elements of the story are identical. But there are enough differences to suggest they are independent retellings gathered from different sources. That's important because it suggests Ralph Coggeshall didn't just copy William of Newburgh's homework. He found out about the story from elsewhere. That fits with what we know about their sources. William of Newburgh claims he heard the account from multiple trustworthy persons, and Ralph of Coggeshall goes one step further, naming local knight Sir Richard de Carne of Wykes as his source. According to Coggeshall, the Green Children lived with de Carne after they were first found. Both texts are serious historical works, and they present the story of the Green Children of Woolpit as simple fact, and not some kind of fable or allegory. None of this proves for certain that the story is real, but it does suggest that something genuinely unusual happened near Woolpit. Something memorable enough that two respected chroniclers, writing independently and decades apart, both judged it worth recording as history rather than hearsay. And the fact that the two accounts are so similar, green skin and all, makes it much harder to dismiss the seemingly impossible details. So what's going on here? How on earth did two bright green children turn up in the middle of 12th century England, dressed in strange clothes and speaking an unknown language? Well, believe it or not, there may well be a perfectly rational answer to that question. But let's start by getting the more outlandish theories out of the way first. In news that will surprise absolutely nobody, plenty of tinfoil hat enthusiasts have linked the story of the Green Children of Woolpit with, well, basically everything. One of the most popular theories is that the children weren't human at all, but fairies. The British Isles are steeped in centuries of fairy folklore, and a couple of green kids emerging from a hole in the ground is a play straight out of the Fair Folk textbook. Admittedly, fairies aren't typically depicted as having green skin, but they are strongly associated with the colour green. They're also often described as living in some kind of underground world. They would naturally speak another language, and presumably don't shop at Zara. In many ways, the fairy theory is a perfect fit. except for the minor downside that it relies on fairies actually being real. And if you happen to believe in fairies, plenty of people do, just ask Reddit, then you can probably turn this video off right now. For you, the fairy theories are slam dunk. If you don't, well, a 900-year-old story about bright green kids is unlikely to change your mind. As for me, I'm happy to file this one away in the clearly mental drawer. And whilst we're at it, we can stick several other Woolpit theories in there with it. No, the children were not aliens, nor were they visitors from a parallel dimension. They don't prove Hollow Earth is real. They weren't turned green by exposure to radiation, and they didn't arrive on Earth from another planet after an unfortunate teleporter malfunction. Right, I'm glad we got that out of the way. But where does that leave us? Well, Sherlock Holmes once said that once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth. But he wasn't even real, so what the hell does he know? No, to solve this cold case, we don't need the help of a detective. We need a doctor. Because it turns out that the key to this whole strange mystery may just lie with a little-known medical condition that affects the body's red blood cells. The scientific name for this condition is hyperchromic anemia, but back in the Middle Ages, it was known by a different name, green sickness. You can probably see where I'm going with this. There are several common symptoms of hyperchromic anemia, including fatigue and a loss of appetite. That last one might be significant given the children refused all food for several days. But by far the most striking symptom of hyperchromic anemia is that, in severe cases, it can give the skin a pale green tint. Might the green children of Woolpit have been suffering from this rare condition? Well, we have no way of knowing for sure. But it's certainly plausible. Like other forms of anemia, hyperchromic anemia is caused by malnutrition and iron deficiency, both of which were common in the medieval world. Seen through the lens of their green skin, the other details of the story, the children's strange clothes and unknown language, give off distinctly otherworldly vibes. But if their skin colour was simply the result of a medical condition, then things start to look very different. In fact, you can pretty much boil the rest of this story down to this. Two kids wearing foreign clothes and speaking a foreign language are found by some villagers in England. So can you think of any possible reason why someone might wear foreign clothes and speak a foreign language? Well, what if they were just foreign? The green children of Woolpit weren't fairies or AWOL aliens. They were a brother and sister of non-English origin who were suffering from hypochromic anemia. Or at least that's the basis of arguably the most popular theory that we have today. Now, at first it might sound a little speculative, but there's actually a fair bit of admittedly circumstantial evidence to back it up. Even as far back as the 12th century, England was a surprisingly multicultural country, and the area around Woolpit happens to be home to a large population of Flemish immigrants. Intriguingly, some of them lived just a few miles away from Woolpit in a village called Thornham St. Martin. Could that be the misremembered place name the girl was referring to when she spoke of St. Martin's land? If not, it's an amazing coincidence, and it isn't the only one. In 1173, around the time the children are thought to have been found, the treasonous Earl of Leicester, Robert de Beaumont, attempted to invade England at the head of an army of Flemish mercenaries. That army was soundly defeated during the Battle of Thornham, just a few miles from Woolpit. But the involvement of those Flemish soldiers generated a backlash against a local settled population. Dozens of Flemish families were forced to flee their homes. Some were even killed. It isn't hard to imagine a couple of Flemish children being separated from their parents in all the chaos. They may already have been suffering from green sickness at the time, or perhaps they became increasingly malnourished as they wandered around the countryside, scared and alone. Either way, by the time they were found outside of Woolpit, they would have made for a highly unusual sight. Their green skin, unfamiliar foreign clothes, and incomprehensible babble, also known as Flemish, all would have contributed to their otherworldly appearance. And there you have it. The impossible case of the green children of Woolpit suddenly doesn't look quite so impossible anymore. But before we hang out the celebratory bunting, there are still a few unanswered questions. The most obvious is that, compelling as the Flemish orphan theory is, it doesn't explain the majority of the girl's crazy origin story, with its Twilight Kingdom and mysterious musical cave. Woolpit scholars have attempted to connect some of these dots. Perhaps the cave was an old mine shaft from one of the many flint or chalk mines in the area. And maybe the strange melodic sounds the kids followed was the clanging of church bells in nearby Bury St. Edmunds. But none of that really stands up to close scrutiny. Personally though, I don't see the girl's strange testimony as being such a big deal. One thing that isn't recorded in either of the primary sources is the age of the kids when they were found, which means they may well have been very young. And you don't have to spend all that much time around young kids to realise they come up with all kinds of random crap. And that's at the best of times. Throw illness, exhaustion, and a large dollop of trauma into the mix, and you can't really expect anything even close to an accurate witness statement. Another fly in the Flemish orphan ointment is that detail about the unknown tongue spoken by the kids. At first, it seems to make perfect sense. It was simply a foreign language. But the more you think about it, the less well that narrative fits. As we've already seen, the area around Woolpit was a hotspot for Flemings. No, seriously, people from Flanders really are called Flemings. That's why we think the kids were Flemish in the first place. But if they were found in an area where Flemings were common, is it really realistic that nobody recognised the language they were speaking? Not understanding it is one thing, but not even recognising it. Perhaps they spoke an unusual dialect or had thick accents, but that feels like a bit of a stretch. For now, the Flemish orphan theory remains the most widely accepted modern interpretation of the Woolpit story. But there's no denying it is fairly speculative, and the truth is, it's very likely to stay that way. The Green Children rocked up in Woolpit almost 900 years ago. Hard evidence is thin on the ground, and there's close to zero chance we'll ever guess any more. At first that might feel a little unsatisfying, but maybe that's why this strange little story has continued to fascinate for close to a millennium. In an era where the answer to almost any question is just a few clicks and a matter of moments away, perhaps there's room for a little more mystery in the world. In fact, if you visit Woolpit today, you'll find that the village sign proudly depicts two green children. Proof that this strange tale has left an indelible mark on this unassuming place. Thanks for watching.